This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live from the ACLU, quote, we will sue swiftly over the new Trump administration asylum rule. We'll talk about it today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
The ACLU, the new morality organization, usually fighting against morals, Judeo-Christian heritage of our country, and actual freedom of speech for those who have free speech that they disagree with now. It's a very different organization than when it first started, though still far to the left. This is their quote. In their reaction to the Trump administration's new asylum policy, which they want to call restrictions, here it is. Quote, the Trump administration is trying to unilaterally reverse our country's legal, always look for this, and moral commitment to protect those fleeing danger. This new rule is patently unlawful, and we will sue swiftly. Now, when your statement is that short from the ACLU, what is patently unlawful? And who is going to sue? And remember your travel ban case. Do you want to go through that again and end up losing at the U.S. Supreme Court? I guess, and this one I think would not even get that far because Congress has delegated the power when it comes to asylum seekers and asylum laws to Congress. This phony outrage over a policy which actually will help asylum seekers. And the now, we told you there would be lawsuits. The ACLU is saying we will swiftly sue as soon as possible. As soon as they can find someone to file the lawsuit, they're going to file the lawsuit, of course, against the Trump administration. We will be there in court standing with the Trump administration to defend this policy. But it's not just the ACLU. Even the UN, who has a questionable record on running refugee camps and the success they've had at the UN Refugee Agency, which, by the way, the U.S., I think, left, different than the Human Rights Council. But I think some of the funding, they've come out against our asylum restrictions, which was unique. They say it excessively curtails the right to apply for asylum, jeopardize the right to protection from refoulement, that means return to the country that you're seeking asylum from, and are not in line with international obligations. First of all, the new policy, which goes into effect today from the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security, specifically mentions our UN obligations and says this will not violate the Convention Against Torture, and we will make sure it doesn't violate that. We'll make sure that if you're being trafficked, of course, there are exceptions to this rule that you must apply somewhere if you can. And you're traveling up to the southern border, so it's specific to the southern border. It's not specific to air travel or traveling through other foreign vessels. But if you're making the travel over land and you pass through a country where you could have applied for asylum, you need to show the U.S. that you at least tried to apply for asylum there and were denied or deported and couldn't get through the process. That's all. And actually, I will tell you, for most asylum seekers, and I'll go to Than Bennett on this, Than, when we work on these cases, they have to build up a record when they actually do get a hearing, and now it's a 900,000 case backlog. 900,000 case backlog for asylum seekers. But when they do get a hearing, they have to have evidence. This would be their kind of first form of evidence that they were actual true asylum seekers, that they weren't just economic migrants trying to get to the U.S. Like a normal immigrant would be going through the process for a better life. And, to get through to a country with a better economy.
No question about it, Jordan. I actually think that's the best question to ask both the United Nations and the ACLU. What is your plan for legitimate asylum seekers? Jordan, we have represented those asylum seekers, and the current system is swamping their ability to make a legitimate claim because the system is overwhelmed by illegitimate claims. Even if you do have the evidence, Jordan, it's hard to get it presented right now because all of the illegitimate claims are pushing their way to the front of the line.
All right, folks, we come back. We take your phone calls right away on the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110 is the Trump administration's new refugee policy, which goes into effect today, and the asylum policy is now under attack from the ACLU, from the United Nations. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The UN Refugee Agency has come out an attack against the new U.S. asylum policy. They say, we understand that the U.S. asylum system is under significant strain, like a 900,000. 900,000, that's nearly a million case backload. Million cases for 1,000-ish judges. Okay, so that's like a never-ending caseload. That means legitimate people don't get through. And we're ready to play a constructive role if needed in helping alleviate the strain. Now, that would really be the UN setting up refugee camps in places outside the U.S. That'd be the UN setting up refugee camps in Central America. I'm not even sure the U.S. would be opposed to that. It's whether or not those Central American countries would be okay. You know, would Mexico be okay with the UN setting up refugee camps there? Would Guatemala be okay with the UN setting up refugee camps there? But it is a flat-out lie from the UN to say that this is against our international obligations. In fact, it is widely accepted international law that asylum seekers should claim asylum in the first country where they no longer fear the threat of persecution or torture. That's the widely accepted international law. And if they didn't, it is a knock against their claim. And in some countries, that's it. You can't make the claim because you are showing that you had a specific intention to come here when you had all these other options. Now, if you're fleeing the Middle East, for instance, and you had to travel through four Sunni countries before you could get to a place that you could claim asylum, like get on an aircraft and then claim, well, then the U.S. policy would say, if it was applied there, would say, of course, you were not out of that fear of persecution or torture. We've had clients like that. We've had to make a number of stops and secretly get smuggled out of countries because of the threat. And the threat was they were being hunted down. The U.S. new policy says that as well. So if you're being hunted by MS-13 throughout Central America and even up through Mexico, you're not going to have to be required to try and claim asylum in a place like Mexico where you would not necessarily feel like you could be protected. So your life was still in danger or at threat. If you're being trafficked, again, all those safeguards are there, but it's the Trump administration. So we must sue, like the ACLU says. I mean, they have nothing to say in their statement about exactly what they're suing on, except for it's something that violates U.S. morals. They haven't had problems with that with most speech, most ideas are policy. But now they are the morality police, I guess, at the American Civil Liberties Union, which is a scary thought in itself for the ACLU to be America's morality police and enforcers. Let's go to Robert in Maryland calling on line one. If you want to talk to us on air, the number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. How you doing, Jordan? I wanted to ask you, what is the ACLU, why is the ACLU bringing a lawsuit against the Trump administration about its new asylum ban? In other words, what's the basis of a lawsuit in which the American Civil Liberties Union is bringing against the Trump administration in reference to the new asylum rule?
Well, as I said yesterday, I knew that they were going to bring, someone would bring a lawsuit. The lawsuits were coming on this, and it was the ACLU who was first out of the bat to say, we will sue swiftly. They don't talk about what they're going to sue. They say it unilaterally reverses our country's legal and moral commitment, which, by the way, the law allows changes to. So the law that was passed allows the executive branch to make these changes. And this moral argument, well, that doesn't fly in court. Then we know what this is about. It's any time the Trump administration acts, even if it acts in a way to help legitimate asylum seekers, people legitimately fleeing fear of persecution or torture and death because of their nationality or their race or their political beliefs, their religious beliefs, that they, or their speech that they've given, that they are going to be more legitimately protected through this. And even though that's the case, this is the Trump administration, so we have to make a legal argument against it that it's somehow bad, it's immoral to have this as well.
Jordan, the decision by the ACLU to file a lawsuit against this rule was made before the rule was ever enacted. I mean, it was made to oppose whatever action this administration took. And Jordan, I didn't hear them saying anything when President Obama at least gave lip service to the idea that an economic claim of a migrant does not qualify for asylum. That's a statement he made many times during his administration. There just weren't policies to back up that with action. Now there is. And Jordan, I would just couple that with this statement from the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. They say they're ready to play a constructive role in helping alleviate the strain that they acknowledge is on the United States. There is a constructive role for them to play, Jordan, and that would be speaking directly to Mexico and Guatemala, who are signers of these obligations, saying, look, when there is an asylum passing through your country and has a legitimate claim, you must grant that claim. Jordan, nowhere in this statement do I see them directing recommendations to Guatemala or Mexico. It's all at the United States, and it's all critical, even though it's in line with the international obligations the United States has.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, this idea that for this select group of asylum seekers who are traveling through multiple countries, that if one of those multiple countries could be a place where you could no longer face your fear of imminent death, persecution, or torture. So if you're fearing the government in, let's say, Honduras or El Salvador, and you get to Guatemala, well, maybe the government there is not a threat to you. So if it's a government threat that you're facing, did you try to make an asylum claim there? It doesn't mean, by the way, the U.S. law doesn't say, and you've got to be successful there to get to here, because if you're successful there, you don't move on. Because you're really trying to get away from someone trying to kill you. And that's why you're fleeing and going through the difficult process on land of going from country to country and maybe take your family with you. Then it's not all about economics. It's not about like, oh, well, I really want to end up in, you know, Southwest Texas. So I that's why I'm going to flee. It's because you are fearing death, imminent death or persecution by some kind of official actors. And it's interesting because in the New York Times, they say, well, the administration made the announcement despite the fact that Guatemala and Mexico have refused to go along with the plan. Shouldn't the UN be critical of Mexico and Guatemala for refusing to even consider these folks' asylum claims? You know, someone called in yesterday broadcast to say, well, is asylum law the same everywhere? I said, absolutely not. Just like no country has the exact same laws, but there are international norms. And the international norms are you would at least allow someone to make the claim in your country for asylum, and then you'd have your various standards for which to apply. So the real issue is with Guatemala and Mexico. Why are they refusing to consider people's asylum issues to go along with the plan. The plan was not asking Mexico and Guatemala to do this, by the way. This was something that the asylum seeker must do. And again, to provide some evidence, which they must do in court, ultimately, that they were actually seeking a refuge from fear of imminent death, persecution, or torture. So they did it the first place they could, the first place they could feel safe. And if they were denied there, at least they've got some history now when they come to the U.S. border and make that asylum claim. That actually, for an asylum lawyer, for an immigration attorney who focuses on asylum claims, I will tell you, that gives you the starting point for your evidence that your client has a legitimate fear. And you can get through kind of that gets you through THAN, actually phase one of the inquiry, which gets you into the country, actually.
Yeah, that's really, I think, the most important point in all of this, Jordan, is that there are legitimate asylum seekers. We have represented them in the past, and they need to be able to demonstrate a credible fear. And of course, if it's the first country that you've entered after fleeing imminent danger of your life, that is going to be a good piece of documentation that you are legitimately afraid for your life. The first place you get, you're safe, you make that claim, Jordan. But I will tell you, that is a very hard claim to make when at least 80%, and that's a very conservative number, at least 80% of the current claimants in the United States are not legitimate asylum seekers. So it's hard to get your voice heard if you are legitimate. And Jordan, I would just pose this question to the left. Does the left really want more asylum seekers to try the dangerous crossing that took the life of the father and daughter just a couple of weeks ago? If you are a legitimate claimant, you can still come to a port of entry and make that claim, get your credible fear hearing held, and actually get processed. But the system is under stress. And Jordan, you have to ask, I mean, does the left continue to want them to make those crossings? Because right now, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, this is the issue with that. Again, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We will take calls again. We come back from the break. If you want to talk about this, we got a lot to talk about as well, too. The Title 10, you know, Planned Parenthood lost that major case in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And they lost it en banc at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Again, trying to stop the Trump administration's defunding of Planned Parenthood through Title 10, even though the law expressly allows that, to defund abortion providers and those who promote abortion. And this is, again, that's exactly what Planned Parenthood is. They've lost. Now that's going into effect, the Trump administration announces. You can give us a call about that, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But again, any move this administration makes, they have blinders on. They have to file a lawsuit. They have to call it racist or xenophobic, even if it's a good policy that they would support in another administration. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
You know, it's interesting. I don't want people to get confused here. The U.S., we defunded the U.N. Human Rights Council. But we're, of course, the number one funder to the U.N. Refugee Agency, where just like we provide about 20% of the U.N.'s total budget, and I think that's an underestimate, we also provide about 20% of the U.N. Refugee Agency's budget as well. $1.4 billion last year, which was at least 19% of the agency's total budget. And an agency official said that that contribution actually was closer to 25% because some don't get reflected in the budget. It is more than what the next nine donors gave to the UN Refugee Agency, including the entire European Union. And yet they have the gusto, if you will, to come out and condemn a change in our asylum policy so we can better identify those who are actually refugees, actually seeking asylum from persecution, from death, from torture. And, you know, it's interesting, even on the mainstream media, and I'll play it for people, we played it for during the break on Facebook and Periscope, but even in a piece on the mainstream media, they go through all the exceptions the U.S. has. So if a country hasn't signed on to a migrant treaty, thus they won't accept asylees. That doesn't count then if a country that you could claim asylum in. If you're being trafficked, if you were denied. Now, I think the mainstream media was wrong on that. They think, well, a denial in one country actually hurts your case here. I don't think so, because no other country in the world, Dan, accepts refugees and those seeking true asylum more than the United States. It just shows that you tried, which actually I think makes your claim more legitimate to the U.S., that you're not just coming here for economic reasons, which is not a legitimate purpose under any asylum law anywhere in the world, including under the UN's own policies.
Yeah, I think it bolsters your claim, Jordan, especially since this new rule from the administration specifically exempts those who have been trafficked. So, Jordan, if you say that you know, you tried to make a claim in a previous country, but then you were trafficked to the United States, not only do you have the underlying claim to make, but you can actually point to this rule that happened this week, not former law, this rule, and say, I am specifically exempt from the prohibition of making a claim outside of a port of entry because I was trafficked. So, Jordan, I would argue it actually gives you a second claim to make.
Yeah, I think, again, 1-800-684-3110, but at least they're acknowledging the truth, even in the mainstream media. What the ACLU is not doing, what the UN, of course, is not doing. I want to go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. Kelly in Texas on line one. Kelly, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it. Which circuit do you think the lawsuit will be taken, since we just saw in the past couple of weeks the left losing a couple of big cases in the Ninth Circuit?
Yeah, well, it's Planned Parenthood. And now, and we'll get to that in a moment, that the Title X funding, defunding of Planned Parenthood goes into effect today, will start being enforced because of those big wins at the Ninth Circuit, two in a row, both at a three-judge panel and the en banc panel against Planned Parenthood. I still think that's probably likely where they try to find venue, because they'll try to find someone maybe in the California area, someone in the Ninth Circuit area. You can look at border states. You could also look at the District of Columbia. But I think that they have a tough time getting standing. They say they will sue. I'm sure they'll sue on behalf of some individual who is saying that this is now a bar to their claim. But again, I where that individual is, I still think they favor places like the Ninth Circuit, the District, the D.C. Circuit, and possibly the Second Circuit as well. But then it brings up an interesting point. And by the way, at the district court level, that means they're really looking at what is the Court of Appeals going to do. At district court level, that's really a random draw still. There's very wide variety of judges in every single circuit court's district courts. And so again, you're talking the next level of this case, which I think is actually why the ACLU statement is so short, and they suddenly talk about morals, is because the legal argument against this is very weak, if there is even one to be made, that a court that is an actual case or controversy, as courts have been likened to say. So, Dan, it was important, though, to bring up these major losses for Planned Parenthood at the Ninth Circuit, and the recent changes to the makeup of the Ninth Circuit. It is not as favorable as it once was to the left.
Yeah, it's much closer, Jordan. I mean, the makeup of the court is now 16 that were appointed by Democrat presidents, 12, I'm sorry, by Republican presidents, and it allows you to draw these favorable panels in certain cases, Jordan, as we have said repeatedly on this broadcast, and you're correct. That ruling from Planned Parenthood, Jordan, let me just give people a very practical ramification from that. Until that ruling had happened, Jordan, this very positive pro-life ruling from the Department of Health and Human Services that was going to deny Planned Parenthood $60 million of funding, because those dollars were earmarked for services that did not include abortion. So clearly Planned Parenthood did not apply. Jordan, that ruling from HHS was on hold. It was not going to be able to be implemented until this ruling from the Ninth Circuit. And now the department has said that they are implementing it immediately, Jordan. It is in effect today. And new applicants for these dollars under Title 10 or people reapplying for those dollars will have to comply with the requirements of the rule that say, look, if you do abortions in this facility or you commingle dollars in this facility for abortions, you cannot get Title 10 dollars. So, Jordan, immediate action. And I would just say this again, bold action by the Trump administration, not waiting until this process, looking at the ruling out of the Ninth Circuit, seeing the certainty of victory that is ahead and implementing that rule immediately as they are legally permitted to do.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Lou in Washington State on line 4. Lou, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, God bless you and your work. I am calling because I have heard that MS-13 gang members are the reason that many illegal immigrants crossing the border state as the reason for fear of their life, but I've also heard that MS-13 exists here in the United States.
It does.
States.
It does. So now, here's where the distinction would be made. You can't just flee because things aren't great in your country. If it gets to a point where it's like civil war, then that would be the proper role of like the UN to set up a refugee camp in region or in the area. So not necessarily in the United States, but inside Mexico or inside one of those Central American countries where people can come and feel like they will be more protected from these elements that may very well have morphed into like paramilitary type groups. But you can't just make general claims when you're seeking asylum. I focused on this in my legal studies early on in my legal career. After my JD, already passed the bar halfway through, but stayed in school, did an LLM at Georgetown law, which is not right-wing at all, on really focusing in on international law, human rights law, and asylum law, asylee law, was a huge part of that. And you cannot make general claims like, well, there's gang elements. Because then, I mean, listen, like there's gang elements in our country too. Now, if the gang is coming after you in a systematic way, chasing you down country by country, then you can make the claim. You got to have some evidence of it. That could be text messages, emails, notes, threatening notes. It could be police reports that you've already filed in your country. Things that have happened to other family members. If other people have been injured, killed, or taken by that group who you're related to, you can make the claim because it's specific. You can't just make general claims that things are bad. That's when you have to have the role of an international institution, maybe setting up a refugee camp if it's that bad, if it's like a war zone where everyone is seeking asylum, everyone is a refugee. And almost, most people would be making legitimate claims. A second half hour coming up. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The ACLJ has got so much work going on. We're ready to fight this in court. We had the DOJ conference yesterday, a team at a religious freedom conference with Pastor Saul's family today in D.C. Support our work, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me set the stage for you. The ACLU is going to sue swiftly the Trump administration for trying to unilaterally reverse our country's legal, and I love this from the ACLU, moral commitment to protect those fleeing danger, because they don't like the new asylum rule. It's not law. Asylum rule change made by the Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice being announced, that someone seeking asylum on the southern border specifically, so we're not talking about air travel, we're not talking about other vessels being used, but over land, and you're trying to claim asylum on the southern border, if you pass through a country that is part of a migrant, again, one of the charters, international treaties, and that you are safe there, or felt like you would be, you know, so if you were fleeing government persecution and you are no longer in your country, you at least have to show the U.S. that you tried to get asylum there. And that could be just simply saying, I applied and was denied. And it doesn't hurt your case. I think CBS News went through all of the exceptions to this rule. Again, which is a rule I think that actually it helps asylum seekers because they have to have some evidence of what they're doing. I think right away this shows, even if you're denied asylum somewhere, it shows that you weren't just looking for a pass to the U.S. and you're making up a story to be here. It shows that you legitimately were fleeing the threat of persecution, torture, or death for one of the reasons outlined. And take a listen. Again, this is CBS, mainstream news, going through the exceptions to the rule even.
Under this new rule, any migrants coming up from Central America through the southern border would have to have sought asylum in one of the other countries they passed through in order to be eligible here in the U.S. They have carved out some exceptions. One is for people who have been trafficked. That will be one of the exceptions. They also say that if the only other country you've passed through is one that has not signed on to one of the major migration treaties, that could also be an exception. They also say if you sought asylum in another country and were denied, that may also carve out an exception, although that would not bode well for your asylum claim here in the U.S.
So all of that is true, except for when she's trying to, have comment on that. So she goes through the specific, that's on CBS News, specific exceptions to the rule, but then has to comment on one of the exceptions. And her comment is wrong. The U.S. understands as a country that most of these countries will not take asylum seekers, and that you're not going to get real due process there. But it's a way to show that you tried, that you were not just seeking a way to get to the U.S. for economic purposes. So she's wrong when she tries to say that it would not bode well. But that's not in the actual exceptions. All those exceptions are true. But Wes, what I think the media forgets is how much evidence these people, once they actually do get through the process, if they ever do get a hearing, mm-hmm. which there's a 900,000 case backlog right now, which is a crisis in itself, a judicial crisis, is that you've got to present evidence like it is court. And this would give you that first claim of evidence. Look, I'm not just trying to come to the U.S. I tried to do this somewhere else. They wouldn't take me.
Yeah. And right now, in this fiscal year, we have 58,000 asylum seekers who were released into the interior of the country because of the backlog, who have failed to show up for their appointed asylum hearings, you know. And what we're looking at with all of this hoopla over this rule is what I think is a selective interpretation of international law and international norms. There are three United Nations conventions that deal with asylum and asylum seekers, and I went back and read them. The latest one's the 1967 protocol relating to the status of refugees, and it says very clearly, any member state shall retain the right pursuant to its national laws to send an asylum seeker to a third country in accordance with the provisions of the Geneva Convention. The Trump administration is simply abiding by international law and norms and trying to fix a broken immigration system in the United States.
When we come back, I'll play you someone we absolutely agree with on this issue, and it's not someone, I'm not even going to announce who it is. I'm just going to play it for you. You'd be surprised who agrees with us. Now, again, I don't expect this individual to come rushing forward to defend the president, but I think it hurts the ACLU. It's the reason why their statement says we're going to sue, but not about how they're going to sue. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Listen, one of my favorite commentators agrees with us on the issue of asylum law in the U.S. It's a very limited law, that it's a law that applies specifically to individuals who are really seeking this specified threat to their life, or persecution by a government or torture. Take a listen to this, one of my favorite commentators.
We admit a certain number of refugees from all around the world based on some fairly narrow criteria. And typically, refugee status is not granted just based on economic need or because a family lives in a bad neighborhood or poverty. It's typically defined fairly narrowly.
President Obama, thank you. I'm glad that we had that flashback for everyone, because he agrees with President Trump and the Trump administration that this is a narrow category, so you shouldn't have a 900,000 case backlog. And the people really seeking the asylum, than should be able to make the claim in a much more easy way, because they are facing a threat to their life, persecution. We know, because we've done these cases, that the folks really making these claims, it is a real legal process. It is not an easy one to navigate already. And the backlog is just making it worse, making the crisis worse. So by helping people build a case, it actually is empowering people seeking asylum.
Oh, how the tables have turned, Jordan. I mean, President Obama is exactly correct. You keep the bandwidth of the asylum claimants small so that you can actually process the legitimate ones and provide them a safe haven in the United States. I would just say a couple of things, too, Jordan. First of all, if you're a legitimate asylum seeker, you would come to a port of entry, because you know that's where your claim will be processed, but only if it's not swamped by the system that's being overrun by these illegitimate claims that are by and large coming across in different parts of the border. Jordan, the other comment I want to make is the commentary that you played from CBS talking about the exceptions that have been made here, trying to carve out maybe some isolated cases that will slip across the border, not at a port of entry, but might still be legitimate. And at the end of that clip, you said it said that they have provided an exception for people who had filed a claim in another country that were denied. And then they added some political commentary. They said, but it would not bode well for that claim in the United States. Jordan, it's the only instance I can think of where the United States government has said, we will make an exception for you, we will allow your claim to be heard, but somehow that's not a good thing. How is that not a good thing if you've been provided an exception? That was nothing more than a political opinion overriding the actual text of the rule that came out this week.
Yeah, I mean, again, I want to go right to the phones and then, again, take more of your comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. David's calling in from Georgia online, too. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, sure enough, a pleasure to talk with you today.
Thanks, David.
I wanted to respond to Sam Bennett's comment about whether or not the left is willing to accept another father and daughter in the river.
Yeah.
I've lived in a communist country. I've studied history. As far as leftist causes are concerned, bodies are just the price of doing business.
Yeah.
One thing you find out early when you live in a communist country is that you, as a person, do not matter. You are simply a wheel in the tools of the state, in the hands of the state. And so does the left care about more bodies in the river? I would say no. They're just the cost of doing business.
Well, I think David, unfortunately, you're right in the sense that this is kind of what people are adopting on the other side of the aisle, even maybe unknowingly. Some would think it's the righteous and moral thing, I guess, as the ACLU, to oppose anything the Trump administration does, any action. Must be, you know, must have a bad purpose behind it. So they're ignoring reality, Wes. They're ignoring the true crisis. It took them forever to even acknowledge there was a humanitarian crisis at the border, and then they tried to blame the administration who'd been telling them for 2 years, there's a crisis at our border, we need funding to do something about it, we need to build better infrastructure to keep, also deter people from trying to make these perilous journeys and make them think twice before they think they can just claim asylum, things like that. And again, it took forever for them to even acknowledge that there was a crisis at our border.
Finally passed a bill for humanitarian aid for the people collecting on our border. Nancy Pelosi had to twist arms in her own caucus to get them to approve humanitarian aid, you know, for the people on the border. This rule is compassionate. Than and the caller are exactly right. With this rule, if we could sort of curtail those coming up under false pretenses claiming asylum, it'll enable the United States to react compassionately and more expeditiously, to those who really are, you know, fearing for their life because of religion or race or some persecution going on in their home country. The United States is a compassionate nation. On the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees website today, I read this. Since World War II, more of it refugees have found homes in the United States than any other nation.
Course.
Almost 3 million since 1980.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, that's during communism, and we've had specific policies for Cuban for refugees. We have specific policies in place, people seeking from Venezuela. And then, of course, we had those with the Soviet Union was in place. I mean, so that's why even since 1980, we're number one. So not just since World War II, but since the 1980s, we are number one in the world. We are the country that welcomes the most immigrants. We are the country that welcomes the most asylum seekers as well, both categories. And that's acknowledged by the UN, but they still, of course, have to take digs at us if it's the Trump administration. And if it's so reality does not exist, Than. There is no reality. As the caller mentioned what you said, The actual crisis at the border doesn't matter. Trying to do something about the crisis doesn't matter. It's just using what's there, using imagery for political gain. And I think it's the same. I don't want to get into it today. It's the same with these tweets. It's the same with the condemnations there. It's doing anything but actually legislating. It's doing anything but actually doing something constructive on actual crises happening in our country.
Jordan, it's playing politics with people's lives. I mean, plain and simple it is. Look, at the same time, the left in Washington, D.C. is saying that these are concentration camps down at the southern border. Yet, as Wes mentioned, they fought tooth and nail against sending dollars down to the border. And when doing so, Jordan, Speaker Pelosi insisted that there not be additional capacity for ICE to have detention beds so people could actually have a place to sleep, additional facilities. She opposed that, and so that was not a part of the package. And Jordan, the other thing, I mean, if they really do want a solution here, if they don't want just a political issue to talk about, then they would pass the Graham bill, which sends 500 more judges down to the border and actually allows you to keep families together for five times longer than is currently exists under federal law. Jordan, it's politics. It's politics over policy. They don't want a solution for it.
Take your phone calls on this in our final segment coming up in just a few minutes. So get your calls in now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. How many of you wish that Congress would spend more time working out solutions to issues like this, okay, like the crisis at our border, how gross the conditions have gotten, how out of control the conditions have gotten at the border. The Congress will spend more time doing this and less time condemning the president. You know what? If you want to impeach President Trump, go ahead and impeach. Move forward with that impeachment, House. But these condemnations, again, when you could not even condemn anti-Semitism, remember that? Nancy Pelosi had to scrap that vote. These are again, it's not, they are, it is playing politics with everything, including people's lives. And it's trying to, again, it's trying to damage the president. What they don't realize that they're doing, maybe they do, as President Trump has acknowledged, they're damaging the entire country and the standing of the United States, because those statistics, like Wes pointed out, won't matter to people if our own leaders in our country say how bad we are, how horrible everything we do is, even though we've taken the most refugees, we've taken the most immigrants, we're the most diverse country in the world, the most free country in the world, we protect the most rights of people being persecuted around the world. And of course, you can always do more, and you can always do better. How about we focus on doing that in Congress and not condemning tweets? And if you are going to condemn things, look at your own House first. Look at the people that are part of your caucus first, who are sending out anti-Semitism, and why didn't you condemn that specifically by name? Because they're partisans. I mean, this is why, again, we have got to see some electoral change happening. Because it's unfair if you reelect our president and don't change what's happening in Washington D.C. I mean, he can only do so much. He's doing everything he can. His administration doing everything they can to alleviate problems that Congress should be easily working on bipartisan solutions for. So if you disagree with this vote against President Trump tonight and wish that Congress were doing more, give us a call 1-800-684-3110. If you disagree with the media distractions on, again, partisan politics, and you wish that Congress was doing more to actually help this solution, I don't want it to be shocking. I don't want imagery to be shocking that's inside the U.S. of our facilities that we're having used to detain people. But I'm also realistic to know that you have to have new facilities then. You have to have more beds. You have to have more people working there. 1-800-684-3110. Isn't that what you wish your government was working on? Your elected government was working on? Even those of you who may disagree politically with President Trump broadly, and you can decide how you want to vote in the 2020 election. Right now, though, we still have crises we need to deal with as a country, and we could come together and deal with them instead of condemning the president, work with the president. 1-800-684-3110. If you agree or disagree, again, it's 1-800-684-3110. The ACLJ has got a lot going on, working with the Department of Justice this week on combating anti-Semitism. Today with the State Department, with Pastor Saw's family and our team there, are working for religious liberty and religious freedom. Support the work of the ACLJ.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, so you've made it to the segment where we take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines have been filling up, and we'll get to the first call right off the bat, which will be Anita in just a moment. I did want to just recognize and remind people how much work we're doing at the ACLJ this week. One, on this issue with the ACLU saying they're going to file a lawsuit, we're going to be standing up with the Trump administration on that. We'll be filing along. If they need help with the defense in court, we'll be there as well. If the ACLU actually does file the lawsuit they're threatening, they say they will sue swiftly, we'll be ready to respond alongside the Trump administration. So I want to make that clear. We had our team at a DOJ conference on combating anti-Semitism and the boycott and divestment sanctions movement. Than, you were there yesterday at the Department of Justice. We were invited to participate there. Again, only about a couple hundred people from the whole country invited. And it just shows the breadth of all these different issues the ACLJ works on, that we had such a big presence there as well.
Yeah, select attendees, Jordan, and we said this during a break, but I do think our full radio audience should hear just how significant of a presence the administration had there. Jordan, a quarter of the president's cabinet was there. You had the Attorney General, Bill Barr, as well as the Deputy Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General, and several others. Then you had Secretary Mnuchin from Treasury, Secretary DeVos from Education, Director Christopher Wray from the FBI, and then the Special Envoy for Anti-Semitism, Elon Carr, on behalf of Secretary Pompeo. So, Jordan, I would just say, while participation was pretty select, the administration made it very clear that on every agency that touches a piece of this, they're going to make it a priority, and they sent their lead officer, the cabinet officials, to attend the summit.
It is excellent. And then today, Than, there's the second annual. This was started by Ambassador Brownback, who is the Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, a former senator, former governor of Kansas. He is now the U.S. Ambassador for International Religious Freedom. The second annual ministerial on religious freedom. Pastor Saw's family, who's still imprisoned in China, we represent the family, is there with our legal team as well. That's happening at the State Department, and Secretary of State Pompeo is participating in that.
That's right. It's down at the State Department. We're grateful to the ambassador for leading it. And Jordan, this year they're focusing on both victims of religious persecution and then also survivors of religious persecution. Obviously, we have multiple examples inside the ACLJ of clients that we've represented or currently represent. One of them, the family of Pastor John Saw, both his wife and mother, are down at the State Department right now with our team. So we wish them well. And again, thank you to the State Department, to Ambassador Brownback, for making it a priority.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Anita in Kentucky online too. Anita, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. Okay, so from my point of view as an American, we have a homeless crisis in America,
yep.
In California. You've seen it in Texas going on now.
Which is being exacerbated by this issue of just letting people flow through, because many of those people are becoming the homeless as well. But of course, there were already people here facing a whole wide variety of issues, Anita, and I'm going to let you continue talking about why they're homeless, whether it's mental health, addiction, economic purposes. I mean, there's so many reasons why.
The taxes going up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear about, oh, guess what? Illegals getting free health care, but you have Americans who can't get health care. So yet we're paying for all this.
Well,
why are we caring more about illegals who are coming into our country, and we're giving them all this stuff and we're paying for it?
Yeah. Well, I think that here's the issue. Until you secure the border, once you apprehend these individuals, you are responsible for them. Now, so you're responsible for the conditions they're held in. You're responsible for how you're going to determine who is an asylum seeker and who is not. So until you build the wall, the administration has to deal with reality. The reality is those people cross and are detained. You have to deal with the detention. You have to deal with the deportation. It does take resources to do so. And we are facing a crisis right now. I think you're absolutely right. It ignores the real, because we're not dealing with this issue, we're also not dealing with the issues in our own country that are not just on the border. It's like all we're focusing in on is that, like the opioid epidemic. That crisis, which everyone acknowledged, suddenly takes a back seat because of the imagery coming out of this crisis, one after another. They all need to be dealt with, and they will all take congressional action. There's only so much the executive branch can do, and they took one of those actions through the asylum process. But again, what do you see happening today? The president is going to be condemned for a tweet, okay? That's what Congress is swiftly acting on in the House of Representatives. Not on better facilities for those who are detained after illegally crossing into the border. I mean, take a listen to this exchange from one of the members of Congress leading the move to, you know, condemn President Trump. And I will give her credit. She actually does want to move forward with the impeachment, because I say, if you think it's, you know, if you believe that, go for it. See how that works for you in the 2020 election cycle. But if you really believe it, go for it. But take a listen. This is AOC and the former ICE director back and forth. Take a listen.
Zero tolerance was interpreted as the policy that separated children from their
If parents. I get arrested for DUI and I have a young child in a car, I'm going to be separated. When I was a police officer in New York and I arrested a father for domestic violence, I separated that
Mr.
father
Holman,
from his family.
With all due respect, legal asylees are not charged with any crime.
When you're in the country illegally, it's violation 8 United States Code 1325.
Seeking asylum is legal.
If you want to seek asylum, you go through the port of entry, do it the legal way. The Attorney General of the United States has made that clear.
Okay.
And that's all she could say is okay, because it's true. 8 U.S.C. 1325 provides that an alien apprehended while entering or attempting to enter the U.S. at a time or place other than a designated one designated by immigration officers, so a port of entry, shall be subject to a civil penalty. Than, you talked about this already. We have ports of entry to make these claims, to make the legal asylees that AOC is talking about. And that's true. There's places for that. If you don't make it at the port of entry, you're already starting out as someone who's not making a legal entry into the U.S. And you could still, we're saying, if you try to claim asylum somewhere else, make that claim in the U.S. if you tried somewhere else along your journey.
Jordan, she doesn't know the law, plain and simple. I mean, yes, it's true that seeking asylum is legal, but you have to go through the legal channels that have been afforded to you, including entering at a port of entry. And look, if she wants to provide a real solution to this issue, Jordan, even if she doesn't want to concede that if you don't come to a port of entry, you should be allowed, whatever, she can dispute that. But if she wants to get rid of the backlog, Jordan, there is a piece of legislation. You know, she's a part of the legislative branch. They would have to pass this to make this solution a reality that would send 500 new judges to the border, that would say you have to make that claim at a port of entry, and then would say that you can hold those families for 100 days instead of the 20 that is currently exists because of the Flores decision. Jordan, if she would do that, the backlog that she's talking about could actually be processed, but she doesn't know the law, and to be quite honest with you, I think all of the facts say she doesn't actually want a solution. She just wants to keep attacking the president over it.
All right, take the final call of the day. Robert in Maryland on line 4. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say her new nickname should be the Brainless Broad from the Bronx, because that's what she is. She's brainless. The bottom line is this. If we don't secure the border, we cannot afford to give illegal aliens free health care. For God's sakes, I don't have free health care. And the bottom line is, who's going to pay for this? If you vote for a politician that's Democrat, you need your head examined.
Well, this is the issue, is that their solutions that they throw out are not reality. They can't pass. Even Joe Biden said it. There's no way they're going to pass Medicare for all. They couldn't even probably pass what he wants, was a public option for Obamacare. And that will be tough. But certainly they can't pass Medicare for all. So why not real solutions to the problems working across the aisle, at least on these basic issues like improving the conditions at the southern border? That should be one that both sides should work on. But again, they want to condemn the president instead and spend their time doing that. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online.